All right, good morning. How are we all doing this morning?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see everyone. I am just excited. So excited you can hear me resonating through this room. But I'm excited that we're starting our new series, Unashamed. Okay, we're going to be just digging in to the book of Acts. Amen? And the reason why, just a little... the reason why I wanted to call it Unashamed is just we, as a church, as Christians, need to remember because of God, because of the Holy Spirit, because of who we are through Him, we do not need to be ashamed to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We need to be unashamed to live our lives in the way that we are called. We need to be unashamed to share the gospel through our words, our actions, and our lifestyle. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, as we do this, we're going to begin Acts 1, verse 1. So, if you want to open your Bibles to there, we'll be there in just a minute. But Acts 1 is just this continuation. A lot of times people call it, you know, the next gospel. But Luke is being bold in this gospel. So he tells us that the finished work of redemption, that Jesus has finished his work of redemption, there's nothing to add, there's nothing to improve upon, yet Jesus did not finish the message and the work of proclamation to continue sharing the gospel. He began it, but he now continues it through ordinary people who trust him, follow him, and are obedient to him by spreading the gospel. So there's a quote that I would like to read to you from John MacArthur. And it says, "The work of Jesus Christ is both finished and unfinished. His great work of providing redemption is finished, which is through the death on the cross, burial, and resurrection. Nothing needs to be added." And when Jesus says in John 17, verse 4, it says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." Jesus accomplished the work that he was given to do. But he also gives us the task to follow up with his accomplishment, okay? And then it says in his quote, "His work of ministry and proclamation, however, is not finished. That work he only started." So Acts is this powerful sequel to the book and the gospel of Luke, all right? And Luke, the physician, who was a careful historian, and wrote to a man. Some people say it's to the church, some people say it's to a man, but tomato, tomato. I said it right every moment. Theophilus, there we go. But, yeah.
Theophilus.
Back at you. All right, but he was likely a real person or a seeker who wanted a trustworthy account of the gospel. So it was composed in the first century, most likely somewhere between 60 and 69 AD. Okay, and Acts traces how the risen and ascended Jesus continues his work through the Holy Spirit and his witnesses. So the gospel is going to move. What we're going to be talking about over the next probably year, okay? So get your hats on, get your seatbelts ready. We're going to be moving. We're going to have fun. But we're going to move through this. And Acts starts in Jerusalem from chapters 1 through 7, okay? And then to Judea and Samaria in Acts 8 through 12. And then to the ends of the earth from Acts 13 through 28. Okay, so Acts explains the mission Jesus Christ entrusted to his people. And it shows the church's birth and growth. It records sermons and the call for repentance and forgiveness in his name. We are going to be looking at the beginning of the church. And that shows how Jews and Gentiles come together and boldly claim the gospel and become the family in Christ. Acts grounds believers in the reliable history that's accounted from The gospel strengthens our confidence in a risen Lord and calls us to be bold and obedient to his ongoing work, to Christ's ongoing work. So I'm excited to dive into this with you. I think it's going to be fun, but I think it's also going to be convicting at times, and I think that's what we always need, right?
Amen.
And sometimes we just need to say, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what that meant. So remember that the work of Jesus is finished and unfinished. Okay? So his saving work finished through the cross is complete. When Jesus said in John 17:4, I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the things you have given me to do. So nothing needs to be added to Christ's death. Nothing needs to be added to that process. He completed that. When he said, it is finished. So he completed to be able to be forgiven for our sins through his death on the cross. But we now need to share that gospel message.
Yeah.
It is our job to continue living and sharing the words of Christ.
Amen.
And at the same time, his public ministry was not finished. He started it. He showed the example of it. But he handed his ministry to his followers. Amen?
Amen.
So along with the other Gospels, the first account composed in Luke records all that Jesus began to do and teach during his life on earth in the book of Luke and the other Gospels. The rest of the New Testament, after the Gospels, describes the continuation of his church and his work through various means, okay? So we're still finishing what Christ started until Christ returns.
Amen.
So what does it mean for us? Big question. What does that mean for us? From a human point of view, from the apostles not feeling ready. I was just watching, me and Megan were watching Chosen last night, and actually was talking through that part where Jesus was sending them out. And this was a little bit before, but one of the key lines was, we just started learning from you, and now you want us to go out for you. And he pretty much, yeah. And he says, go share what I have told you. Share the gospel, share the message of him.
Amen.
So, but from a human standpoint, we can feel unready, that anxiety, that How do we do this? You know, they had doubted, they had failed, they had continually gone through this and scattered. But the risen Lord gathered them and did not hand them, really, he didn't hand them a participation trophy. Let's be honest. He wasn't like, good for you, here you go. He handed them a task. He says, you're next, you're up. Let's move forward. But he said, wait for the promised Spirit. Receive power, be my witness. So they were not ready, but they were obedient to the Lord. And their obedience is what made them ready.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is where our series starts. We're not sharing a past story. We're going to start with that understanding right now. We are here to join a living and present Savior. The same Jesus who began to teach and still is teaching through everyone who is Christian, through his church. Because he ascended to reign, but he pours out his Spirit. And then he sends us, not the flawless, not the already prepared, but the obedient.
Amen.
So the question I'm going to ask you guys as we move into this is, church, are we obedient? Are we going to be obedient to the call of what Christ has placed in our life? So when we think about it today, we're going to, let's answer that in our own hearts. Am I going to be obedient or not? It's yes or no. Am I going to follow him and do what he's asked, or am I not going to? When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he used a word that removes the option that something is optional. Okay? Does anybody know what that word is?
Go.
Go, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was here, he tells his disciples, go. Go and make disciples.
Amen.
So it's just, it's a command, it's not a suggestion. In the same way, if we have children and we say, go to your room, that is a command we have given them. Now, whether or not they believe, they follow through with that and actually do it is their choice, the free will, right? But when we say go, it's a command. So the same thing with Christ. When he says go and make disciples, he's not telling you if you feel like it or if you want to or if it's the right time for you. No, go. Go and make disciples of all nations.
Amen.
So now we say, are we going to be obedient to that as a church? Because now we move into this realization that the word of Christ, his earthly ministry and proclaiming the gospel is not finished.
Amen.
And it's now handed to his followers to carry out the mission of Christ and sharing the gospel. So we're gonna, let's pray really quick before we start reading these verses. I just wanted to kind of build this up, but let's pray this opening confession to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. It says, Jesus, you finished your salvation. You finished the work of redemption. You entrusted us now to finish your unfinished mission, to share the gospel. So we will not hide, Lord. We will not hold back. We will proclaim the message of Christ. We will take our place in the story, beginning in our own town, beginning in Jerusalem, beginning in our homes, neighborhoods, and then moving outward as you continue to lead us. And I know that sometimes we may not feel ready, Lord, but through your Spirit, we will obey. I pray that you make us bold and unashamed to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Acts 1, verse 1. Let's read this together. It says, Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So church, we see through these first verses that Luke has told us something. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And that he taught about the kingdom. He gave clear instructions. And he was taken up before their eyes with the promise that he will return. And this is something that I think we forget. Jesus did not ascend into heaven dead.
Amen.
He is risen.
Yes.
He is alive. He ascended into heaven, living.
Amen.
And lives to this day on the throne, preparing for us.
Amen.
And has given us a command to go. He gave clear instructions. So we are not closing a story. We are not telling something of what's happened in the past. We are stepping into one that Jesus began and has given us to do through his people by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And remember today that his ascension is not his absence. Amen?
Amen.
It's actually the ability for Jesus to reach further. Because if we go back to John 16, verse 7, Jesus tells us why he had to leave. He says, but very truly I tell you, this is when he's speaking to his disciples, okay? He says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. Mm. But if I go, I will send him to you.
Amen.
Okay, remember, Jesus is what?
Human.
He was born in flesh, okay? He is God, but he was still human. It's like when people said, hey, you need to come see Lazarus. I'm not, I can't, I won't. Jesus didn't just teleport wherever he wanted. He was in human form. So his mission that he was teaching and sharing with the disciples was they were following him. Unless you were with Jesus where he was going, you heard about his mission, but didn't see it. Does that make sense? So in a way, we need to understand that because Jesus was in his humanly form, he was limited by the same inabilities that we have, that we can't just jump and teleport. I can't just go to China right now and just start talking. So Jesus said, it's for your good that I go. Because one, he accomplished his work, what he was supposed to do. And he's going to prepare a place for us. He's sitting on the throne. But Jesus says, it's good for you that I'm going away. Because for Jesus to ascend and go away, now the Holy Spirit can come and be present with us.
Amen.
So now we, through the Holy Spirit, go and share the gospel. We're not alone. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to study. I mean, it's good to study, but we don't have to know front and back and every theological thing. We just have to know the story of Christ.
Amen.
We just have to know who Jesus Christ is in our life. We have to know that he is the risen King who lived, shared, died on the cross for your sins, rose again to defeat death and conquer sins. And you just say, you can have that too.
Amen.
You are forgiven if you repent of your sins. And that's all we have to share. So in the beginning of Acts, Luke is sharing this transfer, this handoff that took place that we're going to go through. And this is how the time for the church is to spread the gospel of Christ through the world by guidance of the Holy Spirit. But before the gift of the Holy Spirit, they needed to wait a time before the event at Pentecost. So this is the one little part, because Jesus said, wait here until the promise my Father has given comes to you. He says, wait. He told them to wait. Okay, because they did not have the Holy Spirit in that portion of time. The Holy Spirit had to be poured out. So just like when we walk out and do something, we need to be prepared. We need to be living and saying, okay, I am prepared to do this. I am prepared to share this message through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us, to equip us, to share with us through our mouth, through our inability sometimes, the Holy Spirit just shares and says, this is the message. There's a lot of times, and I guarantee anybody else who's preaching here, Jermaine and other people, there's a lot of times where we talk or something's going on and we're like, that was the worst thing that has ever come out of my mouth. And it's usually on those messages that somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, I needed to hear that. And I'm like, hear what? But it's not my job to understand what the Holy Spirit is sharing, but it's my job to proclaim and share the gospel. And the way that people hear it, the way that people are listening, the way that the Holy Spirit is stirring in their heart, that is the Holy Spirit's work. But we have to share the gospel.
Amen.
We have to share Christ. So Luke is telling them that we're seeing in Luke that this time of waiting is happening. But they don't just sit around. But Jesus gives them two commands. Wait in Jerusalem for his promise from the Father. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift the Father has promised, and you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the second command, he says, be my witnesses after the Spirit comes. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
So what we are seeing in these opening verses is they're waiting to be his witness. So here's where we're heading today through this series. We're going to let Luke guide us. First, we're going to see how this stage is set, rooted in this history that he presents. And then we want to understand and receive this promise of power. But it's not a delay for us, but a present gift to those who accept Christ. They waited. Okay, but in a few weeks you're going to hear about the Pentecost and this whole process, and that has already happened. So the Spirit is already here.
Amen.
The Spirit is among us. So we're not in this let's wait time. There's a difference between being like heartfully prepared through prayer, but we're not sitting here going, I have to wait now until this situation happens for me to go out. It's already happened. We're supposed to go out.
Amen.
No more waiting. Game's already started, you guys. There's movement on the court. It's happening. You're in it. So keep your Bible open, because what Jesus began to do and teach, he intends to continue through us today. Amen.
Amen.
So the first section, so Luke says that at this time, Jesus began to do and preach. And that little word began is everything. It tells us that the story is not over. It didn't say Jesus completed what he preached and he taught. Jesus began what Jesus began to do and preach. He showed us. And now he empowers his people. After his suffering, he presented them alive. He presented himself alive with many convincing proofs. He needed to show people, look, I am alive. And people doubted, and he had to show them, look, holes. He had to show them the scars. There was at one point when Jesus entered into a room that the door was closed. Mm-hmm. And he was just there. And they were like, whoa. But he had to show them, hey, I'm here. It's me.
Amen.
So for 40 days he appeared and he taught about the kingdom of God. He conquered death. And Luke is reminding them right from the beginning, like we talked about at the beginning of this message, they are serving a living Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? We are serving a living, risen King. So remember that when we're walking around. Christ is alive. And this matters because our witness is not the start of the story. Our witness has already been, like, our part of the story has already been established and foretold to the ends of the earth. When the two appeared before them and said, why are you still sitting here? He will come back in the way that you saw him leave. And in other words, what he's saying is quit staring up. Quit looking. You'll know when he comes back, because he's going to come back the same exact way.
Amen.
Until that happens, go. Do it. Do your job. Do what we are called to do as Christians, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So remember that your courage will grow when you come to the realization that your Father rests on the reality that your faith rests on the reality that we serve a living God.
Amen.
And you are not carrying a past story. You're bearing witness to a risen King. And obedience begins with the confidence in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done through the cross, his burial, and his resurrection.
Amen.
We don't have to make anything up. We don't have to figure out and fluff the story. We just have to know who Jesus Christ is. Yes, we need to know who Christ is. But once you know that you have a Savior who lived his life, died on the cross for your sins, rose again, conquered death, and forgives those who repent and live with him, that's what you have to share.
Amen.
And then he promised the promise of power. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, to wait for the gift that his Father promised. But they're not told to take that time and invent a strategy and be like, all right, here's how we're gonna, day one, we're gonna do this, let the whiteboard this. How are we gonna go through this? Let's sit down and talk. No. They already know what to do. Share the gospel. But they had to wait and told they were going to receive a helper through the Holy Spirit. And they're going to wait. But while they're waiting, they're joining together. We're going to hear about this next week when they're in the upper room. When they join together in prayer. While they're waiting, they're praying. It's a very good thing for us to just put in our minds right now. When we're not out and about, when we're not walking, when we're not sharing the gospel, and we're in this position of like, okay, I'm at my house, I'm in my car, I'm doing something, like, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to pray and continue to be close to my Father. So every time that I leave the comfort of my home or where I'm going, that I'm as close to the Father as I can possibly be at all times. Because the world out here wants to do nothing except pull you away.
Amen.
And if we don't recenter ourselves in the truth of the gospel, happens to us all. I guarantee we can all say like, oh, it was a couple days, a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden I realized a couple months later, I haven't really read my Bible that much, and it becomes easier the more we don't do it.
Yeah.
Not that we don't want to do it, but it becomes easier over time. We're just like, because that first day you forget to do it, you're like, dang it. Second day you're like, oh, I really, okay, I'll get back to it tomorrow. And after like a week you're like, it's not really affecting me that much right now. And then 2-3 months down the road when we're not close to the Father, we're like, why does my life, like, why is it horrible right now? Why is my anxiety up? Why am I just frustrated? Why is all this? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you opened your Bible? When's the last time you got yourself close to the Father and trusted in Him? So we need to take that time. So they're taking that time. They're preparing. They're saying, okay, we're waiting for Christ. We are commanded to wait in Jerusalem. So let's pray. Let's be together in prayer.
Amen.
So your Jerusalem is your home.
Amen.
Okay? Your Zen place. Okay? Take that time when you're at home to pray. I talked about it a few weeks ago when I was at a men's retreat, remembering the Sabbath. When is your Sabbath? I know life is chaotic, not all of us have the same days off. But when do you set aside one day a week? Set aside time for God. Trust me. It is life-changing. Just to rest, just to take a step back, turn off social media. At first, when I did that, it was hard to not like scroll and look at Facebook. And I was like, oh, I need to post something on the church website. Like, oh, I need to do. No, it's my Sabbath day, other than the few people that can get a hold of me, it's amazing to just sit, to be present with my family, to take time to go sit and look at the water and look at the birds and be like, thank you, God, for what you created.
Amen.
And that fuels me to do my week. So they're preparing. They were preparing for the presence, the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told them to wait until the Father's promise came, but not to stall ministry, but to stay in the right way, which is in the presence of God.
Amen.
But Luke also moves on to the expectation that they had when they wanted to know if Jesus Christ would be restoring the kingdom of Israel. Did you notice that? They asked him, "Are you going to restore Israel?" And Jesus is like, "It's not for you to know the time." But they're so used to seeing Jesus fulfill and to bring things to completion, to tell and share the message of God and talk to people. But Jesus redirects their thinking to understand that the mission is not over. And they are no longer in the watch and learn phase, and are in the walk and live out phase.
Amen.
And that's what we are into. We are in the walk and live out the message of Christ phase. And we are relying on that same Holy Spirit to continue living through us that it was living through them. Because through us to become a mission beyond borders. In Acts 1:6-8, you know, it says, you know, if we were to ask ourselves, what would it look like this week to speak honestly and truthfully about what Jesus has done for you in your life? But then live out the example.
Amen.
Of what Jesus has done for you in your life. Because we can say it all the time. We can say, "Follow Christ, He forgives you of your sins. He changed my life." And people are like, "Really? You don't act any different. You still cuss like a sailor at work. You still drink yourself into a stupor every Friday night. You still treat all these people the same." Other than this little, like, quick glimpse of, like, "Hey, listen to this or do this," like, you don't act any different. We are meant to act different. To be different. So when we talk about what Jesus has done in our life, how He's changed us, people need to see how He's changed you. People need to see the difference in your life. Because they will notice what your actions are well before they hear the words that you're saying.
Amen.
It's easy to tell a story about something else. But when you tell the story about yourself, how Jesus saved you, changed your heart, and gave you a new purpose, you actually have to live it out.
Amen.
You actually have to show it. And that's sharing the gospel. Jesus lived out the gospel all the way up until His death. Mm-hmm. You cannot point at one thing that Jesus did and say, "That was a little off kilter." No. That was right on par. Even in His frustration. But it was righteously so that He was doing stuff. Even when He might have spoken boldly, it was righteously so because He was sharing the gospel. He didn't do it out of hate or anger. He did it out of love.
Yeah.
And compassion. And that's what we're called to do. So the disciples asked, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus says, "No, plain and simple, it's not for you to know that time." We simply need to share who Christ is with the communities around us, in our circles, in our homes, and just share, "I'm a sinner, I'm broken." And the only difference between someone else who's broken is that I have the Father in me.
Amen.
Amen.
I am presented as perfect before God because of Christ fulfilling me.
Amen.
Not because of myself. So without Christ, I am no different than that person. 100%. And if someone asks you, like, you're a sinner, you've done bad things, yeah, I have. Not even gonna say I haven't. But I have Jesus in my life.
Amen.
Jesus changes me.
Amen.
The love I have for Jesus is why I want to be obedient. The way I feel towards Jesus, the way I know that he saved me, I am in awe of who he is. Because not only did he save me, not only did he forgive me of my sins, he rose again. He's alive, and I get to serve a living God.
Amen.
In my life. And I just want to share that with you. I want you to share that with other people. I want you to live that out. So we all have different stories about how Jesus Christ impacted us. And we need to share that. Sharing the gospel means that we need to tell the good news about Jesus Christ so people can understand it, believe it, and respond to it. That's it. That they can understand it, believe it, and respond to it. Share that who Jesus Christ is. They'll believe it through your actions and living it out. And be like, man, Jesus really did change him. And they can have the chance to respond to it. So we are not selling religion or offering a quick fix. It's announcing what God has done to save sinners just like you and me through his life, death, resurrection, and inviting a response to the repentance of faith. So we remember, we don't need to make this difficult. Share, listen, like, read the gospel, read the book of John, learn who Jesus is. And if you repented, and if you have Jesus in your heart, share that story. And that's what we do. We should continue sharing the story. If you're a Christian, we live in obedience. As a Christian, we live through the characteristics of God, Beatitudes, right? We talked about that. We live out the characteristics of God through mercy and all the others, and then through our actions, words, and lifestyle, how Jesus changed us, and that Jesus can change them too.
Amen.
And then as we close this morning through these final verses in Luke, we're reminded that Jesus was lifted so we can go. Jesus is taken up before their eyes, a cloud hides him, the glorious clouds of God. And while they are in awe and anticipation, two men in white ask, why do you stand here looking in the sky? The same Jesus will come back the same way. So the ascension is not a farewell. He reigns, he intercedes, he sent his spirit, he will return. And the message is simple. Do not freeze in fascination, but go in expectation.
Amen.
Because the king is on the throne, his spirit is in you, the mission is at your feet. So we are now called to go and carry out that mission. So we live between this sweet spot, between ascension and return. So just like the two men told the disciples that he will come back in the same way, that is still for us. Don't stand here and wait. Don't stand here and, like, awe of, oh, wow. Like, praise God. Yeah, praise God. Praise God on the move. And until the skies open up and he comes down again, we are moving.
Amen.
We are sharing the gospel. We are loving others. So until he returns, when Christ's followers saw Jesus ascend into heaven, they were frozen in awe of what just happened. But he will come back in the same way.
Amen.
So we're not called to stand and wait. So this morning, we see this starting point for them, and they're in this waiting period that next week we're going to talk about the prayer and them having this process. But for us, what I want you to do for the next 7 days, and It'll be on the screen. It's two different things. I'll post it online too if you're online. But for the next 7 days, I want you to pray each morning for the Holy Spirit to guide you, guide your steps, and to open your mouth to share the gospel with somebody. And then write a name. We've done it before. Even Jermaine has had you write a name on a card. Do it again. Write a name, put it in your pocket. Pray for that person. Ask God for one conversation this week. Offer one invitation. Pray with one person right where you are, but obey faithfully and trust God with the results. And if today you realize that you haven't trusted Him, that you realize you haven't received Him, because now He is the risen Lord who died for your sins and gave you life, pray that you call on His name and let Him know, and let someone you know before you leave to pray with you. To start on that right place, to start in that example. And then secondly, next Sunday we will move into the upper room where the disciples will gather. It's about 120, 130 in all, and they will pray with one heart. And Peter will open the scriptures to explain what happened to Judas and why a replacement is needed, and then the church will follow with the word of God. They will choose wisely and trust in the Lord to lead them as they prepare for what is coming at Pentecost. So it's a picture of how a church is getting ready to receive the power of the Lord. So they gather, they pray, and they align with Scripture. So another way I want you to get ready, your heart ready for next week, and honestly ready for this whole series that we're into, is three things. Every week I want you to read our next section, and I'll post it. I'll make sure that it's posted. You can write it down. Next week we are reading Acts 1, 12, through 26. Read it several times this week. Read the section before. Read the section after. Just be in His Word. Practice the habits that we will see next week. Gather with fellow believers. Gather with your friends. Pray together with unity and prepare your hearts for what God is doing, and align yourself in Scripture. Look over the Beatitudes. Look over how Jesus lived and say, am I aligned in that way in my life? And if I'm not, pray with your friends. Pray with your fellow believers and say, Lord, align me so I can walk into next Sunday the same way that they did, ready to receive and ready to go out. So we're stepping into a season of obedience, that the King is on His throne, the Spirit is present.